Okay, how many of you want to be happy in life? Let me see your hand. If you want to be happy in life, raise your hand. Yeah, see, there are some really sad, depressed people in the room. Like, it's just messed up. Sometimes we get so far away from wisdom, we don't even know that we want to be happy in life. Lord, help us. I think if I were to really grill you and back you into a corner, you'd want to be happy in life. And what we're going to see tonight very quickly, a lot of what I've got in the outline, if you didn't get an outline, you can raise your hand again. You don't have to be happy to raise your hand. You can just raise it and say, I need an outline, okay? And then somebody will find it. We got somebody over here. Just keep your hand up until somebody finds you. I don't know if there's any more outlines, but we got people on this side of the, okay. The outline lady just left. We must have run out. Did we run out of outlines? Is that what happened? Oh, me of little faith. I think Linda went to, if you're a couple and you can give up, if you know your wife will take good notes and you know you're going to waste your outline anyway, you can give it to somebody with their hand up. So they're going to make copies. Yeah, I didn't know if Linda just like left because it's like, oh, well, you know. Okay. We're going to go ahead and get to work. I'll repent and I'll print more outlines moving forward. Okay, to be happy, listen to me. You have to find, you have to grab, and you have to hang on to wisdom. Okay, so look at verse 13. Happy, Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. And so here's the prescription. You gotta keep your eyes open, you gotta look for wisdom, but then whenever you see it, you actually have to grab hold of it. You have to get understanding. And this is God's, here's your first blank, prescription for happiness. And the implication is, right, wisdom isn't gonna just jump into your mind. You gotta actually look for it. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You have to locate wisdom. You have to go looking for it, and then you have to lay hold of it. In other words, you can't take, I don't understand. You can't take, I don't understand as a conclusion for your life. Whatever you're facing, God's got an answer for it. Don't be satisfied until you get God's word on it. And then once you get it, look down at verse 18. The Bible says you have to hang on to it. The word used there in verse 18 is retained. If you don't keep it, then you lose it. How many know that you can get your eye off the ball spiritually? You have new outlines? Is that what this is? You got new? Hey, Brian Bustos has got new outlines. If anybody needs an outline, just anytime you see, so he's just got five, hot off the press. We can auction them off if we need to. Five outlines. Okay, so they'll probably keep coming in. If just when you see people waving outlines around, just raise your hand. Okay, so you can get off focus. Right? You may know what's right today, but you can forget what's right tomorrow, can't you? Like you can recognize, you know what? I need to be in church. I need to not forsake the assembling of myself together with my brothers and sisters. I need provocation to love and good works. But then life happens to you tomorrow and you forgot that. And now you're like a dumb dog. You got hurt really bad. Instead of going to get help, you crawl underneath the pickup truck out back and we find your cold, stiff corpse spiritually. Again, we're talking spiritually, okay? Like, you can forget what's right. You can forget what is wise. So you have to hang on to it. You get stupid if you're not careful. So one more thing. Job 38, I'm going to give this to you as homework. We don't have time to cover everything. But it's God that gives you that wisdom, okay? You got to go looking for it, and you got to lay hold on it, and you got to not let it go once you get it, but you're going to get it from God. Job 38:36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? So who hath given understanding to the heart? So recognize, while you're looking for wisdom, it's going to come from a person. So that's our first clue. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. It's not happy as the man that winneth the lottery, right? Money, you've heard it said, cannot buy happiness. We'd all love to try. You know, we'd all love to experiment with that. But the conclusion of the matter is it's not going to work. And what we're seeing today is God's wisdom, God's truth, it's way better than being rich. I mean, if being rich solved everything, then why do so many wealthy people, do we find out that they commit suicide? And I'll just give you, I mean, the list is, I mean, it's countless. wealthy people who have the world by the tail, right? They give up on life and they end their own lives. You know, this a couple years ago, the big one was Robin Williams. No, I mean, he's a comedian. And he commits suicide. Marilyn Monroe, another famous one. Ernest Hemingway took his own life. The ladies, you know, Kate Spade, right? 2018, probably not this church. Nobody, there's a lot of people who are like, I don't know who Kate Spade is. Okay, well, that's fine. Fashion designer, had the world by the tail. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It's because, you know, being rich isn't the answer. It's not the key to a happy life. Wisdom, having the wisdom of God, laying hold on it, hanging on, that's the answer. In King Solomon's mind, it's the story about Alan Quatermain and Captain Good and Sir Henry Curtis. They travel to a forgotten land, and there they find an evil king, and they help lead a revolt, and they overthrow the country's tyrant. And then as a reward, there's this repulsive old witch named Gagool, and she leads them to the secret treasure chamber of King Solomon. It's the wealth of King Solomon. And so Gagool leads them into the heart of a mountain, opens a secret door, and points them into an inner chamber under this mountain. And they're there gloating over the wealth, and they've got enough money to solve all their problems, to buy a fleet of battleships. They can pay off a national debt. They're just wealthy beyond all imagination. Meanwhile, Gagool creeps away. Just here's a tip. Never follow somebody named Gagool, okay? So she slams the secret door shut, and now they're locked in a pitch black vault. They're buried in the bowels of the earth. The hours creep by, and they're getting more and more desperate. No light, no food, no water. And the witch's parting words are ringing in their ears. Eat of them. She's talking about the riches, the wealth. Eat of them. Drink of them. Take your fill, lords. They're surrounded by an immense fortune, diamonds, gold, wealth. And Quatermain's comment is, we would have gladly have bartered them all for even the faintest chance of escape. Soon, doubtless, we should be glad to exchange them for but a bit of food, all that wealth for a cup of water, he said. Truly, he concludes, wealth, which men spend all their lives in acquiring, is a valueless thing at the end. Wealth cannot buy health or happiness. Isn't that amazing? People will spend all of their life pursuing wealth, pursuing things in this world, and the value of those things, when it's all said and done, in terms of the scope of your life, is nothing. A man's life, Luke 12:15, consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So that brings us to verse 14. And where is true value? The merchandise of it, of wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So people will spend their life pursuing things, money, people. They'll pursue, clothing, cars, shoes, tech. And they'll pursue these things hard. And the way that they think, the way that they'll spend their life thinking is, if I could just get whatever that is, fill in the blank, right? If I could just get, then I would be happy. And then you spend your life going after those things, you get them, and then what? Well, then you got to maintain them all the time, right? Those things have to be maintained. Cars rust, shoes get scuffed, your dress, no matter how much you spend on it, doesn't do anything for the 20 extra pounds around your middle. You know, you get the idea. You can't maintain them, nor through them can you maintain your happiness forever. Proverbs 16:16, though, says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than chosen silver. Okay, so we want to get that. Where do we get it? Psalm 119, get this down. It's the law of God's mouth. That's how we get wisdom. Remember, wisdom comes, who puts wisdom in? Well, it comes from someone. And it's at the mouth of God. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Again, speaking of wisdom, Proverbs 8:19, my fruit, wisdom's fruit, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. That's why in verse 15, Proverbs 3:15, the Bible says that she, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. There's nothing you can obtain in this world that will compare to the value of wisdom in your life. And so rubies show wisdom's value. Value is your next blank. Proverbs 20:15 says, the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverbs 8:11 says that wisdom is better than rubies. And wisdom is just like, another thing that's compared to rubies is this virtuous woman in Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. In your notes, you can see they're black and white. Just imagine in your notes it's red. Okay, that's not a diamond in your notes. It's a little rock like that. That's a ruby, okay? Her price is far above these gemstones. And when you read about this woman in Proverbs 31, you're like, well, who wouldn't want a woman like that, right? I mean, that's a major find. By the way, Christ went after a woman like that. You know what's more important to him? More important to him than anything? It's you. Right? You're a part of a bride that he gave everything for. So just FYI. But getting wisdom, all right? Getting wisdom, it's so important. And this is why God keeps hammering it. Where do we get it? We just read it in verse 12, Job chapter 28. Where do we find wisdom? I'll leave it in your notes because it absolutely parallels, okay? You even see the comparison to gemstones in Job 28. Where do we get it? Verse 28, he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's the answer. So it comes from, getting wisdom comes from, it comes by seeing God for who he is and taking him at his word. So you give credit where credit is due, right? You see God for who he is and what he says. You don't just give mental assent to it. You don't just believe it conceptually, you believe on it. So in other words, it's not like you say, well, you know I shouldn't forsake the assembling of myself together. I don't just agree with that concept conceptually. I say, no, I need a job that lets me go to church on Sunday and Tuesday because that's when the saints gathered together at my church. Does that make sense? I don't just say conceptually. I don't just say mentally, yeah, I should read my Bible and pray. And agree that that's a good thing, but then never do it, you know? Wisdom says, God, I'm going to take you at your word, and what your word says, that's the rule of my heart and life. Wisdom comes with bonuses beyond wealth. Look at verse 16, Proverbs 3. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. So if you seek God first and his righteousness, then the things that you need, right, the paycheck, that's added unto you. Isn't that interesting? You know, the goal isn't for the Christian to seek after riches. It's to seek after God. And then with God comes the provision for what you need. So with wisdom is the paycheck. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that, here it is again, once you find her and you grab hold, you cannot let her go. You have to retain her. Keep her in a lock, right? Get a headlock on wisdom and never let her go. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So with wisdom, here's your next blank, you live better longer. That's what we see in verses 16 through 18. You live better longer. You do better financially. You live better. You live pleasantly. You have a peaceful life. How? Well, because wisdom tells you to look before you leap, right? That's what you get from wisdom. Wisdom tells you to count the costs before you make a move. Wisdom shows you to flee distraction and destruction. Wisdom will keep you out of depression. It'll keep you out of a destructive path. It shows you to pursue worthy aims, worthwhile goals. Wisdom points you back to the Word of God where you found her. Wisdom will point you to Jesus. But you gotta retain wisdom, okay? So wisdom, okay, every year about this time, I come to the conclusion, hey, you know, I can't just eat what I want and be as fast as I want to be. I can't just eat whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want it, and still stay hot for my wife. You know, every year I come to this conclusion. And it's like, how come Cheryl's not drooling over me like she was last fall? What in the world? And then I go get on the scales and it's like, I'm up 10 pounds again. What? How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened is I forgot. I didn't retain wisdom. Every year and about Thanksgiving, my mileage goes down and my calories go up. And I, you know, for a while you get away with that. And you think, oh, I'm still doing good. And then it gets so busy and then it's mission focus, y'all. And there's barbecue and cheesecake and it just, you know, cookies every night. And before you know it, you haven't been on the scale in 3 weeks. And I put on 10 pounds in 3 weeks. Does that shock anybody else? That's exactly what happened. I mean, like those of you that are like, Miles looks like he's getting fat. Well, that's because that's what's happening. I'm getting fat. Actually, what's happening is I have not retained wisdom. I don't learn. Like, I probably need a support group about every November 24th through about February 3rd or something like that. I need a support group. I just forget, man. But watch this. Look at verse 18 again. Notice she is a tree of what? Life to them that lay hold upon her. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know, Genesis chapter 3, we lost our access to the tree of life, didn't we? And how did we lose our access to the tree of life? Well, it was through rebelling against the wisdom of God. We rebelled against the word of God. Adam took what Eve gave him. He took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he rebelled against his God. And so now they're cut off from the tree of life. Why? Well, think about it. Now Adam and Eve, if they ate of the tree while they're damned by their sin, then they would have lived forever. This was God's caution. They can't live forever like this. No way. They would have lived forever bound in their sin, and sacrifice for sin would not deliver them, would it? They would live forever bound in their sin, and hell would be unleashed. I mean, think about that. Immortals only growing in sin. We would have ushered in hell on earth. And so no wonder the cherubim are posted to keep the way of the tree of life. God says as much as, did I put that one in your notes? Genesis 3, 22 through 24. You go ahead and read that when you get home. He had to guard the way to the tree of life, at least until he could transplant it. And you see that in Revelation chapter 22. So what do we have in that? What do we have in that story? Well, it's a perfect picture of our need for a tree. Wisdom will point you to Jesus. It's a tree where the finished work of Jesus, it dealt with our sin once and for all. It's on that tree that perfect sacrifice was accomplished. Wisdom will point you to Calvary. That's your next blank. It points you to a tree. And it's a tree of death for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a tree of life for us. That's what wisdom says. Galatians 3, 13 through 14, Christ was made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive this blessing, right? This life, this promise of the Spirit through faith. And that brings us to point number three, the proof of wisdom, and we're running out of time. So very quickly, let me give you the rest that will let you do this study on your own. Wisdom points you to the only logical proofs. And again, we've made this point before, but hello, the only thing that came from nothing was nothing, right? Everything did not come from nothing, but a very great something, okay? That's your next blanks. A great something had to produce the cosmos and the earth. You know, if you look at everything and you say it came from nothing, in other words, mathematically, let's think about this. Everything times nothing equals what? Nothing, right? You can take 8 billion, that's a whole lot of something, but you bind that to zero, 8 billion times zero is still zero. The only thing nothing can produce is nothing. We even know that in third grade math. When do they start teaching that? Huh? First grade? No, multiplication tables. I think when I was coming up, it was third grade. Yeah, that's when we learned our times tables. Okay. So a third grader gets that, but not your college professor. Go figure. You guys have heard the story about Isaac Newton has this friend that's an atheist. There's no God. The universe just is. It came out of nothing. And he kept the friendship. One day the friend's visiting And he sees this model of the sun, the planets, and the moons, and how they're all in place and how it worked, everything turned. And he said, that was really intriguing. Who made it? And Newton said, nobody. It just happened, right? Nobody made it. And the point is it's a ridiculous, ludicrous thing to think that all of this wonderful something came from nothing. Okay, so the proof about wisdom is that's how God made all this wonderful something. Look at verse 19, Proverbs 3. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew, the rain. This is how we get our hydro cycle. And we live in a really great environment, don't we? Well, how did God do all of this? How did he make it so that life is possible? Again, I refer you to Job 38. We've looked at Job 28. Look at Job 38, Psalms 104. I think I gave you those references in your notes. You'll have to check that out. It tells how, by wisdom, God creates everything. Well, how did the divine architect work it out? Well, it was by his word. That's where the wisdom comes from. It's from the mouth of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that's who God is. He is his word. The Lord Jesus is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, he upholds all things, right? All things. That's an entire universe full of, now some people are saying, maybe there are trillions of galaxies. But for sure, hundreds of billions of galaxies in this universe. And these are all full of billions and billions, hundreds of billions of stars. And there's solar systems in those galaxies. I mean, all of those things are upheld by the words, right? The word of his power. And that brings us to verse 21. There's an admonishment. You can, again, lose focus. Like verse 18 says, we have to retain wisdom. So verse 21, my son, let not them, the wisdom of God, the words of God, depart from thine eyes. You have to retain, you have to keep sound wisdom and discretion. So you get, you find, but you must keep wisdom. And if you'll do that, look at verses 22 through 23. How many things do you get? Go ahead and count before we close. How many things do you get if you will get, right? If you will find, get, and retain wisdom, how many things do you get back? First person that has the answer, just yell it out. How many? Six. Six things. Right? So they shall be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. When we talk about the neck, it's either yielded in submission or it's in rebellion. It's stiff-necked or yielded. With wisdom, you humble yourself. You enjoy the grace of God. And then he establishes you. That's really what we're seeing in verses 23 and 24. And that's the promise. It's by the word of God that our way is established. It's by the word of God that the path of our feet is set. Plus, you get a major promise. Okay, look at verses 25 and 26. You get to live without fear and instead live full of faith. Be not afraid of sudden fear because of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, living in fear is the worst. I mean, that's just the worst. You don't want to live in fear. That's terrible. If we have time next week, I'll tell you a story. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Man, if you fear him, you don't fear anything else, right? The fear of the Lord, that's how Asa faces the horde. That's how David faced the Goliath. And that's how you can face life. You know, Elisha, and I let you read the story, Elisha's helper, his disciple, sees the Syrians encamped against them, right? Coming against them. And he freaks out. Alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. And you know that if you know the word of God. You know he'll never leave you or forsake you. So the confident call on the Lord, right? If you're confident in the Lord, if you have faith in the Lord, then you're going to call on him, knowing that he hears and he answers prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, we're way out of time. I love you. You are dismissed. Grab your kids. If you need to grab somebody for prayer, you are welcome to do that. I love you, brothers and sisters. Good night.